The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus returned to Galilee powerful in the Spirit. News that he was back spread through the countryside. Jesus taught in their meeting places to everyone's acclaim and pleasure. He came to Nazareth, where he had been reared. As he always did on the Sabbath, Jesus went to the meeting place. When he stood up to read, he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "God's Spirit is on me. God's Spirit has chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. God's Spirit sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act." Jesus then rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the place was on him intent. Then he started in. "You've just heard Scripture make history. It came true just now in this place." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please. Grace and peace to you from God's Holy Spirit. Amen. How would you describe yourself? When most of us are asked that question, we might begin with a list of physical appearances, like I'm tall, or I'm short, or maybe average in height. We might list our eye color or hair color, perhaps mention our build. From there, we might tell people where we grew up and describe ourselves by our current line of work, whatever that happens to be, a student, professional, stay at home, or retired. But what if you are asked to describe your true self? How would you describe your true essence, your real being? That's a bit more tricky, isn't it? It's a bit more complicated to talk in those terms when it comes to describing our true self to someone. We might find there's a bit of stammering going on. When I tried this little exercise this week on myself, I found that there was an appeal in me to describe my true self easier with metaphor language. Like, I am a teeter-totter, or seesaw, wherever you grew up. Sometimes I'm up and sometimes down. Or maybe like the sky, cloudy and rainy at times, bright, sunny others. But I found what I liked the most was dirt. Down to earth, natural, but really just plain messy. But keep that question in your mind for a while. How would you describe your true self? While I talk about the specialness of today a little. Today is a special day for St. Stephen. Today is the day set aside each year that we celebrate the Ministry of Reconciliation Sunday. A Sunday with special speakers in line for us, terrific food, dynamic music, and an unbridled hospitality. It's a time when we recognize all of the pain and the discrimination that the church has laid upon the backs of our LGBTQ sisters and brothers, siblings in Christ. To recognize it, to ask for forgiveness, any action in our being ungodly and judgmental. Today is also a reminder to us to advocate for full welcome, full inclusions to all God's children, especially in God's church. And this action of rectifying the wrongs of the church, it really spills over not on just this one Sunday, but every Sunday of the year, really. As God's unrelenting love and pursuit upon all of God's people is recognized in this place, and we find once again that God is up to new things in the world, and God is making us better together. And I wish I could say it was because of me. I wish I could take the credit and say that it's because I came to this congregation that St. Stephen is doing this, but it's been the spirit of this place for years before me. Before I came, the light of Christ's inclusive love was allowed to shine here. Because that's really the problem in churches, isn't it? We all know that this is true because we've all been in those places where people and preachers, they just stood in the way and they blocked God's sunbursts of unity and love. We blocked it. And in that blocking of God's love, oppressed and afflicted people grew by number. And it was this kind of blocking that turn people away from the church, turn people away from God, turn people away from recognizing their universal body in an inclusive environment. And the result was that the church became incomplete, divided. Then the church became unable to withstand the tyrants of segregation and division that exist in the world and also within the church. But you are here, and I am here. And together we are standing in order to not block God's message of inclusivity and God's love for all of God's people. You and I are here to bridge the divide that people wish to make between humanity and the divide that people wish to make between God and God's creation. And the power is always in the story. Later on today, you're going to hear a story from Representative Chevron Jones, who, like many of us, came out of the wilderness to find that God created him exactly the way he is. That we're all human beings who are made stronger from our experiences in the wilderness. Though it might not feel like it at the time, when we look back, we realize how much stronger we are now because of that time in the desert. And it's like what Paul says in so many words in Galatians today. He says it's time to grow up. It's time to be mature and to come to see that in Christ's family, there can be no division. Jewish and non-Jewish, they're on the same team. Slave and free, they're both on level ground. Male and female, well, they're binary constructs of a male-dominated society. Okay, maybe I interpret a little bit extra on that one. But notice that it does say male and female are equal. Paul's words in the Galatians letter states the ways that we describe ourselves are acceptable. They are acceptable to God, however you describe yourself. And that's a festival joy to know that you and that I are exactly the person God created us to be. For in this place, we are all equal, all one. But here's the thing. As we've been thinking in our minds and pondering in our hearts about describing ourselves, there has likely been pictures forming in your mind. Maybe mixed into that picture in your mind is perhaps the person you wish to be. And that's good. That's good. Because we ought to always be in a state of transformation. You are a different creation today than you were a year ago. You may even be a different creation after today than you are right now. But that's an answer that only you will know. Are you transforming into a closer relationship to God or a divided one? Could that even happen? In our gospel reading from Luke this morning, we read about a moment of transition for Jesus. You see, he had just encountered struggles in the wilderness before that section that we read today when he was tempted by Satan. And that struggle in the wilderness made him return to Galilee powerful in the Spirit. Think about that. Jesus, filled with God, strengthened because of his encounters with evil in the wilderness, and now he returns to his hometown. Many here have encountered such evil, experienced such pain. Wouldn't you say that because of those trials, you are stronger now, closer to Christ, and full of God's Spirit? How many here would go back to the place where they grew up, their hometown, and describe themselves differently now from when they were as a child? We all would, right? We'd all describe ourselves differently because we've matured, we've grown up, experienced new things, become powerful in the Spirit. Hopefully the people in those places have grown too. But that's not always the case. When Jesus returned, he found a welcoming community at first. At first, they were happy to see and to hear him preach, but it turned out that many weren't ready to experience Jesus living out his truth. And I probably don't need to tell you that there are people who wish to restrict God's love and forgiveness to particular groups. We know these people are around. Jesus was rejected by certain groups. We will too. Yet know this. God's Spirit is on you. God's Spirit is guiding you to live out your truth. When Jesus spoke the words of the prophet Isaiah, he said, God's Spirit has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. And that word poor, we think of necessarily dollars and cents, but it's really translated to anyone that's been humiliated by violence. And when he announced pardon to prisoners, sure, he was talking about those who are in jail, but it also applies to those who are unjustly held captive every day. And when Jesus brings sight to the blind, just maybe we're all given the miracle to see. To see that even though some groups will reject us, God will never. God does not reject you. In God's Spirit, we are set free to be whom God created us to be. And then Jesus said, you have just heard Scripture make history. He totally translated it in a different way than they've heard it. His words ruffled a few feathers of his audience that day, but he's not going to give in to the temptation to say things that are going to curry the favor of his listeners. The words of Christ that we hear today, they call us into an encounter of our own with the divine. We're called into an encounter with the divine. Later in Luke, Jesus will encounter a man named Zacchaeus. You know Zacchaeus, that wee little man. Tax collector, a real lowlife. But Jesus has a way of changing people, even those who are most oppressive and hateful. And that day Jesus said, salvation came to your home, Zacchaeus. And then Zacchaeus' description of himself, it changed. It changed for the better. And then later in the gospel, while Jesus had been lifted up on the cross between two criminals, he will tell the one, today you will be with me in paradise. For God's going to gather God's people. God's going to gather God's people in the promise of God's love. So what do? We fling wide the church doors. Without fear or shame, we fling them wide because love is love is love is love. No matter how we describe ourselves. Amen.